May we open this time of prayer and remember the other classes and the men that will be sharing, filling in the gap for Pastor as he is away. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, a new day that you've called us out to assemble, to worship you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your presence in our hearts. May you stir our hearts this day. Deal with those who are not able to come physically, who are having physical problems. Thank you that you are close to them. May they draw closer to you. We think of those downstairs in the other classes, that you would speak to their hearts, the teachers, those who may be away also, that they would find a local Bible-believing assembly where they are and worship you. So, Lord, deal with us as we gather in your midst today. Stir our hearts. Even begin with me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I walk down the corridor of time, I'm learning that my walk with the Lord should be fresh. I'm not the same person I was before I was saved. I have a choice. I can follow the old nature, or I can follow Christ, the new man. I don't have just a ticket to heaven because I'm saved. Because I'm saved, I know I'm going to be with the Lord. But there's more to it. I want to enjoy and experience his life in me now. I want to be fresh. The moment I was saved, I knew I was saved. I knew. I was different. I was new. I still am. I don't want to lose that freshness. That's a concern of mine. He's been teaching me. I'm learning. I haven't learned it all, but I'm learning to be fresh. Let me define what fresh, the definition of it that I'm using. Fresh, meaning new or different. I'm new. I'm different than it was. Full of energy and vigor. I had no energy before I was saved. I had my own. My own, I was scraping the barrel, trying different things, isolating myself away from people, being rebellious, not listening to authority, causing trouble, looking for challenges, not shying away from physical confrontations, not having any joy, no peace. Thought I was. Definition of fresh, not tired, stale, sour, or faded. My life in Christ, not sour. It hasn't faded. It won't fade. I'm not stale. God's not stale. There's nothing new under the sun. If you read in Ecclesiastes, goes over and over again and shows you there's nothing new. Man tries all kinds of things to get better themselves, they think. I tried it. I tried different things. I tried martial arts, got pretty good at it. Sports, thought I was pretty good at that. In school, I love math. Math was my favorite subject. I would have been a math teacher. But I found out you had to wear a tie to work. So I didn't want to be a math teacher. I wanted to do my own thing. I gave my parents all kinds of fits. Gave my teachers all kinds of fits. Because I thought my way was right. After a while, I found out that I was getting emptier and emptier. worse and worse because I was living off of what I thought was right, what I wanted to do. It wasn't working. I got emptier and emptier. People on the outside couldn't tell, but I knew something was missing in my life. Deep down inside, I knew. And I knew I didn't have the answer. When I came to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he was my answer. He still is. There's nothing new under the sun. You see, in the world, people are looking for all kinds of situations or different things to make them happy. They go into politics or take drugs. There's all kinds of new kind of drugs. Then they elevate to another level, or they go from this to that because they're not satisfied. And it gets them worse. I didn't get involved in drugs. I didn't trust drugs. I saw people that were taking them, didn't get involved. Alcohol, didn't do it. I would say gangs, I was exposed to them, but didn't get involved, didn't trust them. Didn't trust alcohol. I could see what the effects of it were to people, or drugs. I could see what it was doing to them. So I was going to solve it, settle it my way. My way. God put me through something that I'll never forget, but I'm so thankful for. He gave me a lesson that I am so thankful for, bringing me to the end of myself. Something that I had to go through. Something that he prescribed just for me. And I can share with people things not to do. I remember teaching. Some of the students would say certain things or do certain things, and I'd tell them, it's not going to be that way. And I could tell them such and such and such, and they said, how do you know? I said, well, there's nothing new. That's been going on for years. My resources are heavenly. My resources do not fade. My resources do not get stale. They don't get sour. They're there. Turn to Hebrews 13. I've shared with people before, if you'd have told me when I was in junior high school that I would be reading a Bible, believing it, going to church, I said, you're crazy. There's no way possible. No way. I had a teacher once tell me that I was the worst student she ever had. And this was the same teacher that told me that I would never be anything. When someone would tell me that, that encouraged me to show you. Other people in my family, they would discourage them, but I was just the opposite. I was determined to show you. But I wasn't saved. I was going on my own energy. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus does not change. He's not new. He's not old. He's always the same. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't lose his energy. He doesn't fade. He's not contentious. He's the great I am. He's in me, and I'm in him. The Spirit of God will do his work if I let him. So that I can increasingly enjoy and experience his fullness, his joy, his peace, his love, his righteousness, and can go on and on. I'm still discovering more and more of God, who he is in me. It's great. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. In verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. I'm a new creature. I have the choice. I have no excuse to go back to try to do the things that I did or thinking. I'll lose my freshness quickly. Don't want it. God didn't. I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. That is an awesome fact, an awesome reality, that Christ is in me. The one who created the world, who saved me, who's coming back for me, who loves me, continues to love me, he's in me and I'm in him. I'm not by myself. He's my resource. Ever-present God who knows everything and wants to live his life in me. He doesn't change. So I have to change. I have to stay fresh. He's fresh. I have to let him do his work in me. He has no beginning or no ending. My physical body has an ending, but eternal life doesn't. I get excited about the fact that Christ is in me and I'm in him. I'm really excited about it. It's not just words that I read and say, oh, well, yeah, it's a fact. Intellectually, I know it. I know. I'm excited about it. Not only am I excited about it, I'm excited that he wants to exercise his life in me. Me. I'm getting personal with you. Me. A knucklehead. Wow. I ask myself, do I want my will for my life? Or do I want God's will for my life? His will for my life is always good. We sing a song, "You Are Always Good." Listen to the words. That those words are beautiful. He is always good to me. My will wasn't good for me. Wasn't even good to me. I thought it was. No. Was not and is not. Is dead. I must make that decision to have God's will for my life. He's not going to force it on me. I have the choice. I can either complain, grumble, go back and feed off of the old man who's rattling the cages, or I can just continue to yield to the Lord and let him do his work that he wants to do, that he has the right to do, and only he can do. God wants to live his life in me, and when I don't let him live his life in me, I am not fresh. You will know. You will know instantly. I am not fresh. God's not doing the work. And you can look at others, talk to them, and you can see freshness of God. Their excitement. Is it there or is it not there? It's God's life in me. I ask myself, why don't I let him live his life in me? It's his life. Why don't I? Why do I have to be stupid? It's his life. Let him live it. It's proven my life. Apart from him, don't want it. Am I enjoying my eternal relationship with God? Yes, I am. I am. I ask that. These questions I'm asking are for myself. I'm enjoying my eternal relationship with God. It's fresh. Doesn't get stale. I remember at times before my wife passed, she would say, "I'm old." And I turn to her and I say, "I didn't marry an old woman." And she said, she would laugh. She was still fresh. She was still fresh to me. How's my relationship with the Lord? He doesn't get old. Is my relationship still fresh after all these years? I've been saved almost 40 years. Don't do any math now figuring out my age. But he's still fresh, and he'll always be fresh. He's guaranteed it. If he's not fresh, whose fault is that? It's not his. It's my fault. Is someone close to you not fresh? Suppose a spouse says to you, your spouse says to you, "I love you." But they don't mean it. The relationship stale, tired. Do we do that with God? Do we say that? Do I say that? "I love you, Lord, but it's all from the mouth." Or one person in the relationship says, "I love you." God says, "I love you, Jim," but I don't respond. Do we do that to God? God says he loves us. Suppose your spouse says to you, "I love you." And you say, "Yeah, whatever, whatever." Do we do that to God? Do they love you from the heart? Does your spouse love you from the heart? God loves you from the heart. Do we go silent with God? God speaks to us. We don't listen. Your spouse speaks to you. And they turn around and say, "What did I say?" "I don't know." Do we do that? Do we do that with God? I remember at times, my wife would play a little game with me at times. She'd go silent with me. She would kind of ignore me when I say things. But it didn't last too long. She would laugh and I would laugh, see how stupid it was. But she's getting the last laugh now because she's still silent. If your spouse doesn't respond in a loving way to you, you don't respond to a loving way to God, you have problems. I have problems. God says, we're assembled together Sunday, Sunday school, morning worship, Bible training hour, evening service, prayer meeting. "I love you, Lord, but I'm only going to come maybe once." Whoa, that really goes well, doesn't it? You really love someone. It shows. That wouldn't work in my relationship with my wife. I'm not going to come to church because pastor's not here. I could say that. I'm not going to come. God taps me on my shoulder. "Jim, I'm here. The word of God is here. Jim, I'm here." Pastor's just a mouthpiece, a gifted man. If the Lord were to take me right now and I wasn't coming to the services, the guy says, don't forsake the assembly of the saints. And I come up with an excuse. Pastor wasn't there. Again, did Pastor save you? Or did I save you? Who did you come to hear? Pastor, or you come to hear the Lord? It's me. I'm speaking to you. I have no excuse. How do I treat God's word? How do I treat God? How do I treat his Holy Spirit or his local assembly? Do I do that to his local assembly? Do I give him the silent treatment or come when I want to? The way I treat the local assembly is the same way I treat God. Same approach. If I want to come to the, if I don't think highly of the local assembly, his body, I don't think highly of the Lord. I don't think highly of his word. If I can say I don't value his body, what else am I going to say that I don't like about God and his word? I got to get my heart right. It's got to stay fresh. I know it's a poor example to use marriage as an example of God's love. God's love is infinite and fresh. God is love. Turn to Ephesians 4. In verses 17 through 24, for this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I want to live in the freshness of who God is. God is a new and living way. I must let God be who he is in my heart. Not what I want God to be in my heart. I have no right to tell God what to do in my heart. I have no right to tell God what to do in his local assembly. I do not have a right to tell God what to do with his word. I can't interpret it my own way. I have to understand the way he said it. I have to live the way he wants it to. He's resident and president in my heart. He owns me. I owe it to him. I owe him. But all that he has done for me on Calvary's cross, all that he has done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do, I owe him. I owe him. I must let God be who he is in his local assembly. It's his body. It's not ours. It's his. My heart has to yield to his work. God wants to enjoy himself in my life being himself. Think about that. God in my life, he wants to enjoy himself in my life. That's what I want. I don't want to enjoy myself. Myself was crucified on the cross, dead. God enjoys being himself, and it shows. When I let him, I'm fresh, because he's fresh. His life is fresh. Turn to Philippians 2. Verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I have to work out my own salvation. I can't work out yours. I want God's will for your life. I want God's will for my life. I couldn't work out my wife's salvation. She had to work it out. Thankfully, she did. As much as I'd like to work out somebody else's, I can't. I got to work out my own. It's personal. Something that the Lord has given me to work out. I have to do it with his help. In other words, I have to continue to yield to him. Moment by moment. God works in me if I let him. Walking in newness of life. Am I carrying baggage, guilt, about confessed sin or unconfessed sin, then repent? Confess it. Am I carrying baggage for things that I did before I was saved? Put it on the cross. If you're carrying baggage with you, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. You can't run. You can't walk with the Lord in freshness with baggage. Can't do it. You can't get on the airplane with extra baggage. It's going to cost you. Don't carry baggage with you. Baggage will slow you down. You can't walk with the Lord. You can't. It's only going to drag you, and you think that you are walking, but you're not. You're not fresh. Either my walk is pleasing or grieving God. Can't be both at the same time. Either I'm pleasing him or grieving him. Am I grieving God? Am I a pain to him? I'm not doing what God tells me to do. I quench his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is convicting me of things that I need to get right, things that I need to do. Or God's trying to stir my heart, and I quench it. I'm grieving him. Am I pleasing him? Am I letting God live in my heart? God asks us to do one thing, to believe in him. That's what I want to do in every situation. I've had some rough situations in my life. A lot of you have had rough, tough situations in your life too. God is always good. He's always good. I can smile through the tears. I mean, I've had some real serious tears, but my heart is smiling at the same time. It's wonderful. That's Christ in me doing that. I can't do it on my own. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Am I complaining about situations in my life that I think are not going the way I want them to go? That's because I want it to go that way. How does God want it to go? God's will, if you follow his will, is pleasing. I can't be thankful and unhappy at the same time. Try it. I tried it. It's impossible to be thankful to the Lord and be unhappy at the same time. You can't do it. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I want to be thankful all the time. Why even try to be unhappy and thankful at the same time? It's a waste of time. It's a waste of a blessing. God's good news is to be exercised by me. God's good news is Christ in me. That's the good news. He is the good news. Christ in me, and I'm in Christ. I'm fresh. Turn to Psalm 40. In verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. God has put a new song in my heart, and as a result, I can live it. That new song that he put in my heart, he composed that song, and he conducts it. So when I'm walking with the Lord, the song that he has composed in my heart, he's conducting it. Imagine that new song. It doesn't get old. Doesn't get old. And he has the right to conduct it because he composed it. Do I hear that new song? It doesn't get old. You know, the world has songs, and you've heard songs over and over and over again. After a while, you get tired of hearing it. Turn that off. I don't want to hear it. If you're saved, you do have that new song in you. Maybe you don't hear it. Maybe you put the mute button on. Maybe that mute button's on. The song is still there. You have to listen. Listen. Get your heart right. Stay right. And listen to the song, that new song that does not get old. Listen to it in your heart. Suppose the hymnals we have did not have any lyrics in them. You open it up, and all you see is notes. I think you call them staffs. Notes. No words. You don't have a song unless you have words. The choir comes up and they sing. Whoa, they don't sing this time. They hum. How can you follow them? Can you imagine the choir being up here? Or your spouse comes to you instead of saying, I love you. They say, Sometimes they can say, Wouldn't you rather someone have words? The song leader, Mr. Steve, turns to us and says, okay, let's hum today. And we hum. What are we going to hum? Does it have any meaning? No. It's crazy. Here's my hymnal right here. God's word in my heart sings to me. Let his word sing to your heart. Is my life humming or singing? I have to ask that at times. I give myself an exam. Is my heart singing or humming? I remember working with the football team at Buckley years ago when they were good. We had a quarterback that didn't throw the ball where he was supposed to. His timing was off. He just didn't look right. And we figured out he didn't know the plays. If he knew the plays, he would be singing. Because he didn't know it, he was hesitant, he was humming. He wasn't performing well. I need God's word to sing to my heart. God's word is a new song. Doesn't get old, doesn't get tired, doesn't get sour. God put a song in our hearts. He didn't put an instrumental in our hearts. He put a song, a new song. Turn to Luke 24. And Wayne went over this briefly Wednesday, and I'll share it with you again. The two disciples walking down the Emmaus Road in Luke 24 and verses 31 and 32, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Do I have a fresh outlook on my situations in life, things that happen, phone calls, different things, unexpected. Unexpected to me, but not to the Lord. Do I have a fresh outlook? Do I have a new outlook, the new man in Christ? Do I have that look on those situations? Do I see God's word fresh and new? His word is fresh. Like it or not, I can say, no, it's not. His word is. Like it or not, his word is fresh. Turn to Romans 12. And verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." My heart has to yield to God's word. The renewing of my mind, the way I think, has to be renewed constantly. Because at times I have a tendency to try to think the old way, the old man. Try to solve things my own way, forgetting that my own way doesn't work. No matter how smart I think I am, which I'm a knucklehead apart from Christ. God's word transforms me if I let God's word do that. My will is going to bankrupt me. Send me backwards. Make me sour, contentious. Not appreciating, not loving God as I should. Not being fresh. Not being different than what I used to be. I have that choice. I have it. I have to make that choice moment by moment. Before I was saved, I had a quick temper. Rebellious. I almost lost my job straight out of college. First day, I almost lost my job because I told my supervisor, he asked me to do something and I refused to do it. I went back and told my wife and she said, "You better apologize." Just got married and I apologize. And the same person who I had a blow up with, he and I didn't see eye to eye for quite a bit of time. After I came to know the Lord, he changed. I changed. Lord changed me. As Wayne was sharing with his boss, Lord changed me. And I really appreciated the guy. I really did. And we understood each other. We got along well. In fact, he gave me a recommendation for another job, another school to go to. And came a long ways. But that was the Lord doing that. My walk with the Lord, or Ephesians 4. in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. My walk with the Lord must be fresh today, but I've got to be yielded to him every day to stay fresh. Because I'm fresh today or yesterday doesn't count for tomorrow. I have to do this every day, moment by moment. I must be abiding in him, not trying to hide. I can't hide from God. Sometimes I try to, but I can't. So I must be abiding. Either I'm pleasing him or I'm grieving him. If my heart doesn't burn as much as when I was first saved, as the two disciples down the Emmaus Road were walking, their hearts were stirred when God opened up the scriptures to them. If my heart is not stirred, there's a problem with me. If my heart doesn't burn as much for the Savior, for his word, for and his Holy Spirit, or his local assembly, as it once did, maybe I have left my first love. Or maybe I never did receive the Lord. I have received the Lord. I know that. If I have no joy or I'm troubled, I'm not fresh. Once I have the Lord in my heart, I cannot lose him. I can leave him. I can walk away from his love. His love is still there. I just walked away from it. That's on me. Turn to Revelation 2. Verse 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. If I leave him, I have lost my freshness. I have not lost him. I have lost my freshness. That's on me. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't understand what I'm talking about. You need to receive the Lord. Realize that you have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. The gift of God is eternal life, that Jesus died for your sins. That's what I did. That he's buried. He rose again for me. That was a personal transaction that I did. And after that, I'm making a personal commitment to stay fresh, to enjoy that life that he has given me. He's in me. He wants to live his life in me. I don't want to hold him back. When I do, I'm the loser. I'm grieving him. I'm not blessed. That's on me. God says he loves me. He wants the best for me. His will for me is the best for me. Not my will. His will for this local assembly is the best. Not my will. I don't want my will for this assembly. I don't want my will for your life. I want God's will for your life. I want God's will for my life. Whatever he decides to do. Another reason I have a fresh walk with the Lord. Turn to Revelation 22. In verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I am one day closer. The Lord coming back. One day closer. One breath closer. One heartbeat closer. That's encouraging. That's awesome. That I'm going to meet him in the air. That keeps me fresh. I can't walk around gloomy, unhappy, trying to be thankful at the same time. Can't do it. Don't want to do it. Impossible to do. But I'm looking for the God to come back. Surely I come quickly. Surely, he said, you can count on it. I am. I want God to work out his will for my life and enjoy the process and the fullness. Thank you.